Apologize, I have a very short homily today. It's just one line. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Now, what was wrong with what I just did? Who can tell me? But I quoted Scripture. What's wrong with quoting Scripture? What, you're barking up the right tree. There's more to it, but why? How? Huh? I took it out of context. How could I have put it in context or better represented the context? Right, yeah. And we talked, I alluded to this last week when we were talking about John 6, which we finish up today in the gospel, that sometimes what we do is we quote a little piece of scripture that says what we want it to say, and we call that proof texting. And that's wrong. It's wrong to just take a little piece of scripture that says what you want it to say. And the fact that it says what you want it to say is something we called eisegesis, which is a really fancy word that means we're simply reading into the scripture instead of getting out the meaning of scripture. And there's a difference. And what most people do is when they sit down and read the Bible, they're actually committing what we call eisegesis. They're reading their own circumstances into Scripture. And they do that because they want to be able to identify and connect with the Scripture, which is a noble cause. But you can't do that by reading your circumstances into Scripture. Have any of you ever seen the movie The Quiet Man? It's funny, when one of my siblings was going through Bishop Carroll, the priest who will remain nameless showed that to his Christian vocations class as an example of marriage. In this movie, for those of you who haven't seen it, there's this great scene at the end where John Wayne is dragging, is it Maureen O'Hare? By the hair back to the house. Like, woman, you're going to come and live with me and you're going to be civil. Of course, any of you who have seen the movie know that she probably deserved it. She was a little bit of a witch. But now, if that was your experience of marriage growing up, or something similar, or something skewed like that, when you read today's second reading, you read your circumstances into it, and you think, ah, that's what my wife's always griping at me. She needs to quit griping at me. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, right? And we take it totally out of context. What was the very first line of the second reading? Who can tell me without looking? Anyone? Good start. Very first words were brothers and sisters. Which in and of itself is, he's addressing both men and women. He's not saying, wives, be subordinate to your husbands, right? But he goes on to say, be submissive or subordinate to one another. And how many of us heard that line, right? You see, we tend to read our circumstances, even our cultural circumstances, into the Scripture. And that is wrong. Instead, we want to do something called exegesis. Exegesis is when you go back and you understand the circumstances and the environment in which the Scripture was originally written. And that's on its own very impossible for us, right? We're living 2,000 years later. We're not in the same cultural context. So how do we do that? Well, number one, through your Bible. Your Bible will often have footnotes at the bottom that tell you the context in which it's being done. Now, different Bibles have different amounts of commentary at the bottom. Your Bible may have little blurbs and you're like, oh, this really isn't giving me what I need. I don't understand it. Get a different Bible. There's like a bazillion of them out there. Okay? And if you still don't understand it, you call up Father Matt and you say, Father Matt, I don't understand this. What does it mean? And I can give you some, even just email me. I can refer you to some great websites that explain it to you. Secondly, Bible studies. You know, we host a Bible study or some type of adult formation every fall and every spring here at Christ the King. And, you know, way more people should be attending it. I know not everybody can come, but way more people should be attending that, because that's where you learn some of those deeper meanings. And that can begin to really change your life. So specifically, how can we do exegesis on this passage today? How do we read this in context? Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another. Well, notice, if you read the whole line, this is what it says. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. So St. Paul, when he says this, he's not saying this in a cultural context. He's saying this in a theological context. And what does Christ do for his church? Why should we as a church be subordinate to Christ? Because he is leading us to heaven. Why should we be obedient to Christ? Because he has one goal. I mean, just think of it. Why would God come down here to earth, humble himself to become a little baby, grow up as a man, and die for our sins? All of that was done simply to save you from your own sins, to bring you into heaven. Men, is that your goal for your wives? Ladies, isn't that a goal that's worth being subordinate to? Yes, absolutely. There is no question that if you have a man that is trying to get you to heaven and you know that everything he does is oriented towards that, there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't want to be subordinate to that. That's the context in which this is being said. And so it challenges us, both as men and women, to be something more. Men, that means that your goal for your family can't just be to be the breadwinner, or to get your kids to all their activities, or to have enough money to take them on vacation. Your number one goal has to be to get your spouse to heaven, and then your children, not the other way around. Women, men need support, especially in our culture right now, where manhood is really skewed. What it means to be a man, how we're challenged to be men, is not in this context, is it? And so women, encourage your husbands to lead family prayer. Don't be afraid to remind them. And I know I've met some women who say, well, Father, if I'm reminding him every day, then I'm the one leading family prayer. No, you're not. You're the one reminding him to be a man. Let him lead, but he needs your help. Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. In the end, St. Paul is giving us this image, and he says this very specifically at the end. He says, I speak in reference to Christ and the church. Guys, your marriage, and those of you who aspire to marriage, this is marriage right up here. This is marriage. This bride that sits in this pew today. And this is marriage because this is the one flesh union. And instead of, we tend to want to draw these comparisons and think, oh, okay, God, Father, I get it. Jesus' love for the church and the love for the church for Jesus and the Eucharist, that's analogous to marriage. No. Marriage is analogous to it. In other words, our marriage, our relationships should be brought into subjection to this relationship between Jesus and the church and this one flesh union on this altar. I want to encourage you today, number one, to read your Bibles. You can't be afraid just because sometimes we misunderstand it.
Don't be afraid to dig into it. Number two, study your Bibles. Come to scripture studies. Get a Bible with some good commentary and dig into it. Don't do eisegesis, do exegesis. Know the mind of the author who wrote it. Get back into the time in which he wrote it. And number three, when it comes to marriage, remember that Jesus has given you a wonderful example of marriage, and that is his love for you as the church. Let us also be subordinate to him and his love for us.